On this episode of Humans with Haunts, Mikkel educates us on why education is important to her.
Welcome back to Humans with Haunts. I'm Hans, the host, and today I am joined by Mikkel. Mikkel is Aspen's roommate. I'm not sure which order the episodes will be released. I just recorded with Aspen, who's a friend of a friend of a friend. You know, we've had a sort of limited interaction, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, once or twice we've, you know, had some interaction. Other than that, you know, I've just heard stories.
Oh. All right.
But, you know.
All good things.
Obviously, great things. That's why I want you here on the podcast.
Thank you.
I feel like you have something to say, and the listeners are here to listen.
Great.
So, Mikkel, for those listeners who don't personally know you, you know, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, for sure. My name's Mikkel, like Hans says. I'm from Utah. I'm 22 years old. Born and raised here, grew up here my whole life.
Classic.
Went to college here, finished my undergrad, and I'm continuing doing my doctorate here in Utah too, so I just can't get away.
Yeah, sounds like hell.
Yeah, it's a fun time. It's got its ups and downs for sure.
No, it happens. It, you know, you make choices,
yeah.
And sometimes that's the right choice.
I stand by it.
Where are you from initially in Utah?
I'm initially from American Fork, Utah.
Okay.
And then when I was 9 years old, we moved to Cedar Hills, Utah. So
okay.
About 15 minutes difference there.
Right.
And it's then when I was...
Not too far.
Right. And then when I was 19, I moved to Provo, Utah.
Classic.
So it's 20 minutes. Big difference.
Right. You know, you just... You're moving along that...
Culture shock.
The Wasatch Front.
For sure.
You know, that's interesting. Sort of, this podcast is all about relationships.
Yep.
You just heard Aspen's.
Yep.
And for you, as you were thinking, maybe, what is a relationship that has defined your life?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'd have to say my relationship with education. That's kind of a slow lob here, and everyone in the room that's listening to this is probably just rolling their eyes because they never shut up about it. But, I mean, you asked, so.
No, and I'm here to listen, and
Excellent.
The listeners are here to listen.
Great.
You know, even if your friends, the roommates, they're tired of it.
Hey, that's okay. They're good sports.
Exactly. And the listeners will be too.
Great.
Education, that's fascinating. I feel like a lot of people, they know the importance of education. They know they need an education. They want an education, whatever.
Yeah.
Why do you think that defines you? What about education?
I mean, education is really like the kind of trajectory of my entire life, I'd say. That's like the underpinning of it. It's allowed me to do things, and it's helped me structure my life choices in a way that allows me to continue more, you know? Like, with the educational choices that I've made, there's certain routes that I want to get into that I can't get into unless I perform in lower forms of education, if that makes sense. So it all builds on each other, and it's like, it's my underpinning motivation and
yeah.
carries through, so.
No, for sure. I mean, it lays the foundation.
It does. And it's like, do I go to the party on Friday night or do I stay in and grind? And so that's shaped my life. So
yeah. No, I think that's valid because I think everyone in their life, you know, most of the listeners here have come to an opportunity where they do make a choice like that. They choose whether, hey, I'm going to do this assignment or, hey, I'm going to, you know, maybe enjoy life a little.
Yeah.
Which there's room for both.
There's room for both. And when you really enjoy it, it becomes like, yeah, it's not exactly how I envisioned my early 20s, but
right.
It's, I love it nonetheless.
Right.
So.
Exactly. You learn to love it.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck.
It's true.
I think it's interesting. You talk about how sort of there's these layers.
Yeah.
You know, you start elementary school, which builds to middle school, high school, college, and now you're doing your doctorate in law. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm getting a Juris Doctorate. So.
Right. I feel like to sort of understand the true importance of education, you sort of need to have a long-term view of life. Do you feel like in your life, from the young age of 3, you've always had that? Or do you think that's something that sort of developed over time?
Well, I don't know about the young age of 3, but I could say about like...
That's when it started for me, personally.
Wow.
So
podcaster and a scholar. Wow, my goodness. I didn't know I was talking
to one in the same.
A friend of a friend of a friend who's a local celebrity. Wow, that's great.
We get many listeners.
Tens of listeners. That's great. That's wonderful, yeah. I don't know about three, but maybe seven. I think that's when I got into law, and that became my long-term trajectory because of a TV show that my grandma used to play for me when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And
what was the TV show?
It's called Perry Mason. If you've seen the show Suits, it's kind of like the 1950s black and white version of Suits. It's all the drama, but less of the sleaze, the Hollywood sleaze, because this was 1950s golden era. So most people are like stand-up characters, they've got A-plus morals. That was, it's about this defense attorney that defends people that are framed for murders.
Classic.
Uh-huh, and they're just framed beyond guilt. They look so incredibly incriminated. And this defense attorney just has this way of turning things around, and he does it all pro bono, and these people end up being amazing people, which pro bono, for folks at home, it's free.
Right.
He does all this
it's
legal
charity work.
It's charity work. He does all this work for free, and these people are just deserving, and they're kind-hearted. And that's what I thought an attorney was when I was growing up. Like, that's a superhero, you know, someone that stands up for their fellow men and kind of does all this stuff and takes the grunt work. And when I got into high school, I started taking more government and citizenship classes. I found out it was a little different.
Right.
It was a little less Hollywood glam. A little
more corporate.
A little more corporate, a little more research than I was anticipating. And there's not so much drama, you know. It's a little more mundane.
Yeah.
a little more paper pushing.
For sure.
But it's super interesting still, and I love it. And I did find a passion in that. So when my peers in grade school wanted to be rock stars and astronauts, I wanted to be an attorney. And that was my long-term goal. And here we are. So.
Yeah. And now you're doing it.
Now I'm doing it.
I think that's fascinating to me. You know, around the similar age, you know, first grade, I'd say, I sort of had a similar experience. My father, he's a physician. Mm. I saw him. I saw his work. He'd get home. When we'd get home, he prioritized family.
That's awesome.
That was important for me. I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
He helps people. And so from probably the first grade to, you know, graduating high school, I'm like, I'm going to be a physician.
So not a podcaster.
Not a podcaster. This came later.
This is a side hustle.
Obviously, this is going to be more successful. But I'm not going into medicine anymore. And I think a lot of people have this idea and these goals and of what they want, especially when they're younger and they don't fully realize.
Yeah.
And when they get older, their perspective changed.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
for sure.
Obviously, that's happened to you to a degree, but you've stayed true. What do you think, you know, when you hear, law is really a lot of paperwork, a lot of writing, a lot of research. What kept your interest?
I mean, that's a fair question. It's not to say that that was the long-term goal, but that's not to say that I didn't explore other interests or have, like, second doubts and second thoughts, you know? I went through a period recently, probably in my junior year of my undergraduate. Like, I was getting close. I started studying for the LSAT, and I was like, man, is this really what I want to commit to doing for the rest of my life? I'm not sure. I went through a little scary moment there where I was
A little quarter-life crisis.
Quarter-life crisis, for sure. But what kind of keeps me motivated through it all is just this this long-term perspective, I think you could say. And I have long-term goals that are not necessarily related to my field of study, but I think they could be best facilitated by it. Like, I want to travel a lot, and I want my work to pick up the tab for it.
For sure.
Because I like flying first class, but I don't like spending that first class money.
Yeah.
So if there's any way that I can get someone else to pay for it, that was what I was going to try to do. And I looked into other options that I thought could be viable for that. I did the whole foreign service thing for a bit there. I thought I wanted to go work at an embassy. And then I had other interests.
You realize it doesn't pay.
Actually, those government benefits, man.
At post-retirement.
Post-retirement.
Now you're chilling.
Yeah, and all the healthcare benefits, you're golden. So especially if you like military men as much as I do that. That Dependa, you know.
Hey,
that
looking pretty, looking pretty nice.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there were other interests and other long-term things that kind of played a role into really bringing me back home to this. I want to study foreign relations law. That's what I'm working towards.
Okay.
And, you know, I wanted that family life balance that you were talking about. And was that best served when I was stationed in an embassy for 3 years at a time away from family? No, it wasn't.
Right.
And so, I mean, there were other things. It was a little bit too late into my college career to, like, flip the script and say, I want to do healthcare now. You know? Like, I was a political science junior on the cusp of being in my very last year. And so I was like, what can I do within this that I love and that won't feel too much like work? Because I like the idea of being passionate about what you're into, yeah. You know, the field that you go into.
I mean, that's why I do a podcast. I'm passionate. I'm a passionate podcaster.
A passion project. Exactly. I like it. Yeah, no. And so I like the idea of being passionate about your work. And I am passionate about political science. I loved my undergraduate for sure.
Yeah.
So I was like, what can I do within this that can help me work towards the travel goals, towards the work family life balance? And those long-term perspectives, what kind of helped me stay anchored in it. Despite my quarter life crisis.
Right. So. How do you maintain that long-term perspective? Because it's constantly growing, you know? As a child, you were thinking of this time in college.
Yeah.
Now, as someone in college, you're thinking of a family. You know, how do you maintain that idea of looking forward?
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to get too religious on you.
I think that's okay, because religion is important.
It's a lens.
And that does influence relationships, that influences how we see the world. Whether the listeners are religious or not, that doesn't matter, because it is your perspective.
There you go. But for my Christians out there, my Bible readers, I like the manna from heaven idea, you know? And it's like, you can't gather in store, you know? It's a raining every single day, and you can only gather as much as you need for that day, otherwise it goes bad.
Right.
And that's kind of how I picture, like, my career path, you know? Like, you can't gather in store these long-term ideas, because your plans are going to go to crap. Like, I've shifted... Okay, granted, law has kind of been the goal, but within law,
I shifted
since 6 or 7, yeah. I've kind of shifted within that, though. I mean, I thought I wanted to do family law, and that was terrible, by the way. I worked in that, and that was the worst thing ever. No offense, Dan McKay, shout out, you're a G, but...
Hopefully, a listener.
Your office was great, but the subject matter could use some work. So family law was awful. I'm in tax law currently, and it's painful.
Just as bad,
but my boss is a homie. So shout out Kent Savage. You're also a homie and a
listener. Hopefully a listener, yeah.
and then I wanted to do foreign economics for a bit there, foreign economics law, and set tariffs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that was a whole mess. And so now I'm into foreign relations, hopefully religious freedom. So it shifts a lot.
Yeah.
And... But it's that constant, you know, like you receive a little bit here and there. You get a glimpse into what you like or what you don't like. And it's that daily reassurance or that daily steering into kind of pigeonhole you into a little way. And you can't have the end from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Right. It takes time.
It takes time. And it's just a little bit here and there. And it's just enough to keep you on the right track where you're still going. You know? And for me, that was like... I mean, you asked how I could stay focused on that. And it was just the little things along the way. It was focusing on getting my law school application in and as good as it could possibly be with what I had, you know, like my scores and everything. And then refining my personal statement.
Right.
And then once I did get accepted, and the acceptance was like the little manna here. And
right. It's like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. And then it was Admitted Students Day. And during Admitted Students Day, I had the chance to talk to a professor that runs the Religious Freedom Program at BYU. And that was like, okay... Yeah, I got in, and now this is definitely where I want to go.
Right.
You know, because this is the program that I'm most interested in, and I think this will best serve my purpose. And so that was another little piece there. And then all the way along, you know, it's just these little pieces that kind of reassure. And that's how I was able to keep that in perspective. So.
No, I like that, because that is how every single relationship works.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go into a relationship... I have this problem personally where I overthink, you know, I'm a big picture type of guy, you know, very young, always had my life figured out, what I wanted to do. But sometimes I struggle on those day-to-day mundane things, especially when it comes to relationships. You know, I meet someone, I meet a friend, and I immediately have plans for year, 2 years, you know, but I forget to text them, or I forget to share how I feel, you know. I forget those things that matter.
Yeah.
And so I like how you talk about, you take those steps along the way that really open it to becoming, to coming to fruition.
Yeah.
You know?
And for my listeners that aren't religious, that want to take the more scientific approach, I'll give you that, because I worked in statistics for 3 years too. So I'll
gotta
give you
love it.
I'll give you a stats approach, a scientific. So. I like the plotting points and noticing trends.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Analogy.
Yeah.
I'm like, goodness, wow. I'm articulate. I'm going to law school. But no, I like this idea that in a relationship, especially, I use this in like any kind of new romantic relationship that I get involved in, because those ones are the ones that really, you know, like friendships are a little bit more natural there, but yeah. Then you add like the whole romance thing on it and it adds pressure, you know?
100%. Immediately.
So I like this model personally. And it's when you meet someone that you're interested in, you start plotting points, and every interaction with them is like a point on a graph, you know? And you can't see the trend by one point alone. You kind of have to step back. And when we're analyzing regression models, shout out to my stats out there.
A little bit of R-squared.
A little R-squared.
Correlation.
Exactly. I got that regression model.
I do math.
Good job, Hans. Proud of you. When you step back, though, then you see the trend or like the slope, if you will, of where these points are leading. And if it's a positive slope and it correlates with the slope that you want to eventually take, that's something that you want to align your life with, and it works out. And if it's not, if it's a negative slope, or if it's not necessarily a negative slope, but if it's running a direction that you're not necessarily trying to go to yourself, if that's not your personal trajectory, then that's something you want to cut off.
That's true. And I'm curious, have you seen that in your life?
Absolutely.
You shared some sort of small, maybe course corrections along the way.
Yeah.
Has there been a time in your life where, you know, you really strayed from that, you know, the strength of education, maybe you thought you were going to drop out, maybe sort of a loss of identity.
Every day.
You know, we joke about
right,
it.
Right.
But, you know, has there been a time where maybe there was that loss of identity where, you know, you sort of had to take that step back, you had to reanalyze where you were heading, and you had to course correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not that long ago. I mean, so okay. I shared briefly, I touched on my midlife, quarter life crisis, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I can tell you.
I hope it's not midlife.
My goodness, I know. Yikes. Hopefully quarter, we'll knock on wood there. But thank you. I needed that. But yeah, it started over a boy. Silliest things of all.
A boy.
I gotta hate him. No, we love men. They just...
It's true.
It's... Everyone's got their place, you know, and he wasn't in mine. So,
but he was in your mind.
He was in my mind for sure. He's a bane of my existence. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully he's a listener too.
Shout out to him.
I'm not going to name drop, but
that's fine.
Like I said, his course was heading a vastly different direction, and it wasn't necessarily negative. I think he's got great things going for him.
Right.
But his priorities were vastly different than mine. And this was the summer that I started studying for the LSAT. And so that was a crucial part of my trajectory. I mean, you can't get to law school without, you know, taking the necessary steps to prepare for your application.
Right.
And so when I started studying for the LSAT, I wanted to put my all into it. And I'd been recommended that you should study at least 3 hours a day.
Right.
Minimum for 4 months.
For sure. If you want to perform, you know, you get a good enough score.
Exactly. And so... as I was balancing my work and my relationship with this boy, there wasn't a lot of leftover time for the LSAT preparation thing.
Right.
And that really was frustrating to me because it put a lot of strain on mine and his relationship, and something had to give eventually. We got into a bit of an argument about it, and he was like, it's merely the LSAT. And I was like, ooh.
That's a
toughie. I mean, you can guess which one won out.
Right, because he's not here on the podcast.
He's not on the podcast with me. I'm talking about my relationship with education.
Right, not him.
Not with him. So, it became... this sounds kind of bad, and this is honestly not a reflection of him, because
it's fine.
He's going to be the end goal for somebody.
For sure.
But his trajectory was just so far off of mine that, like, I mean, for a while there, this was not, like, some casual relationship. Like, we were potentially looking at getting married. And so it was this severe course correction where I was like, you know, I've been slacking off with the LSAT studying, and...
Right.
thankfully, so I'll share, when I said that you can't necessarily get into law school without the LSAT, that's a little bit of a lie. I got into law school without taking the LSAT. BYU has an exemption program where if you score high enough on your ACT and you have a high enough undergraduate GPA, then you can apply
without it. They just let you in?
Not exactly. But pretty much. I mean, they let me in, so they're taking anyone these days.
Right, yeah.
But, so that, like, threw me off. And when I told him, you know, it's going to be the LSAT for me, bud. Like,
right.
Sorry. So that obviously put a stop on that. And it kind of threw me for a long time. I mean, that's not something you bounce back from super easy. You know,
you're
theoretically marching down the aisle with someone and then they're gone. And so for a couple months, I was reeling a little bit. And that's when that midlife crisis happened. And I was like, man, do I even like law school anymore? Like, I don't know. And so I had to... You know, I kind of put my law school plans on the back burner, and I was like, you know, if I just take a gap year, maybe I can figure my life out a little bit. You know? And that wasn't in the cards for me. I had to severely course correct and talk to. I was actually in the guidance counselor's office to talk to her about getting a minor added to my
transcript.
My transcript, yeah, exactly. And she brought up the opportunity that I could apply under the exemption, and so within 1 month. I pulled everything together and I got my application submitted. And that was a lot of work. Like, I had to write and review plenty of times my personal statement, and I had to find good letters of recommendation and had to pull all my scores together and get an interview done. And so within a month, kind of this whole 360 where I was like, you know, I'm going to put law school off and I'm going to take a gap year at least if I end up going to, okay, my application is submitted and I'm waiting on a decision. So that's a 360, and that was pretty big one for me. But
that's a lot to take in, especially in such a short amount of time.
For sure.
And I think it's interesting, you know, to see how this relationship, these goals and these ideology has influenced that other relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know... Whether it's for the positive, for the negative, you know, it's debatable.
I'll let the listeners take a vote.
Right.
On the Patreon.
On the Patreon, exactly. I'm curious, you know, you talk about education, you talk about how it's important in terms of future. You know, you're getting your Juris Doctorate in law. Where do you see education in your life going further? What's your future relationship with education as we sort of wind down here?
Yeah, of course. I hope it's continuous forever. I love education.
Yeah.
I never, ever want to stop learning. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be in a classroom setting for me, because I think a lot of education is out there, you know? Out in the world.
It's in the world.
It's learning cultures, and it's learning people, and it's learning...
As someone who's lived in Utah their whole life.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe I'll finally get out of Utah. But yeah, it's learning about people. It's forming relationships. It's learning how to better those relationships. And I hope I never stop learning. I hope that's something that I continue to do. And I hope I'm a student for the rest of my life.
I mean, as long as you keep listening to this podcast, you
and
will
if
be.
I keep getting those student discounts too. That's what I'm really in it for. I'm the BYU student ID.
Exactly. No, I like that idea, this consistent...
Yeah.
And it needs to be constant.
It does.
You know, and in any relationship, it has to be that way. You
for
know,
sure.
If it's romantic, you have to make a choice every single day to make it happen.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's course corrections over and over. It's 1,000 course corrections that are minute every day.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we stray. Sometimes we get turned around, and that's okay.
We got a 360.
We do a little quick 360, maybe video it, put it online, get some YouTube views.
Yeah. Hey, good failure. That's a different podcast episode, but failure is a part of that. And
exactly.
It's necessary.
And it's going to be in all of our progressions.
For
it's going to be in all of our relationships and our learning and how we go about life.
I think learning leads to progress, which is great. So
yeah.
If you're ever learning, then you're ever progressing. And it's just, that's how I prefer to live my life. So
yeah. And I like that, you know, Mikkel, as we wind down here, I think our time's almost up. Not quite sure. Forgot to check when we started.
That's okay.
But, you know, I appreciated having you on. I appreciate your perspective on sort of how this long-term goal has sort of affected. Now, I am curious, you know, as we sort of wrap up here, for those people that may struggle to maybe sort of have that long-term view, that they sort of become overwhelmed in the day-to-day, do you have any recommendations or suggestions that could maybe help them get more of a long-term view?
Yeah.
And if not, that's okay too. You might not know everything. Contrary to what people say.
I mean, I'm trying to learn, but no, let's see. For me, my motivation is, again, I'm going to turn to my religion. I'm sorry, but
please do.
I'm not sorry, but
right. Stand up.
I'm here for it. I'm a religious freedom advocate. So I'm going to turn to that again. And I found this incredible talk that, it was given by a general authority in our church, and it talks about the situations that you see yourself being in, like if you struggle with different trials or anything like that. You know, like a lot of the times we pray for trials that are equal to our strengths so that we can ensure that we can bat down, you right. know? And in reality, on the flip side of that, we need to pray for strength equal to the trials that we don't know yet, you know, like it, yeah. we don't pray for weaker trials. We pray for more strength. Right.
Right.
And if you don't pray, then, you know,
meditate, hope
for more strength. You know, it's yeah. always this internal flame
desire.
And this desire, you know, and if you can get that, then you can find a purpose and you can hopefully match your will to your purpose, you know, and if you match your will to your purpose, then your will becomes greater and
yeah.
your potential becomes infinite, you know? And,
yeah.
and so it's just that whole idea that it's like, as you beat down obstacles, you become greater. And you know, your obstacle might be your 8 a.m. stats class. I've been there.
Right.
I know what it is. I know what that's like, you know? And some days it gets the best of you and you sleep through it and that's okay, you know? But don't let the day-to-day obstacle become greater than your end goal, because it's so minute and it's so temporary. And if you can keep that long-term perspective, and if you can say, you know, I don't love my 8 a.m. stats class, but I do love the idea of walking out of this place with a degree.
Right.
I can get there, you know?
Yeah.
If that's your flame, if that's what's going to give you that will to defeat that purpose, then good on you.
Then take
that's
it.
All I say.
So. Yeah, I like that. Well, Mikel, as we wrap up, do you have, if the listeners want to reach out, do you have any way that they can maybe get in contact and talk a little more to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, hit me on my line. That's
the classic.
Find me on LinkedIn. That's where I connect with my professionals out there.
Big fan of LinkedIn.
You'll peep the 500 plus connections. I worked hard for that one.
It's necessary in today's society. Yes. I'm still grinding.
Hey,
connect
with me. I'll get you there. So yeah, that's Mikel McIntyre on LinkedIn. I'm also on Instagram. That's MacMcin. So MacMcin on Instagram. And if you really want to email me some personal questions, that's my law school email address. And that'll be McIntyre M at law.byu.edu. That's it.
Sure.
That's what they say these days. So yeah,
makes
yeah.
Makes sense.
Hit me
well,
up there.
Thank you again, Mikel. And thank you to the listeners for liking, reviewing, sharing all the good stuff. And we'll catch you next week.